based on that research, you do write a business plan. Once you write a business plan, you know, it takes a lot to move someone away from that. They've put the effort in, months of pain and talking to people, and it becomes a plan. And so we usually have made the decision to build a business at that point, and we've committed the funding at the business plan stage. And then we specify and build it. So it's a hypothesis, which all of this idea is a hypothesis. We use research very often to reinforce our own opinion, because we feel like we've got a pretty good idea, reinforce our opinion. We write a business plan, which is really, it shouldn't be called a business plan, it should be called a business guess. And it's at that point we usually make the decision and we fund it, you know, whether it's an individual or a company, and we fund it. And then we're into the build process, which is a silo process. And we often work, especially within companies, to a deadline, very often an artificial deadline, maybe event-driven or driven by management. And then we launch, ready or not. And having been through this process so many times and read literally hundreds of business plans, I think this is what is causing the greatest problem in online publishing, is deciding the business plan before we've even got out there and tested it with customers. So, and the involvement of our customers tend to be here, research, focus groups, surveys and stuff. That is interpreted by us, put into the business plan, and then we don't talk to the customers again until we get into this sales and marketing process. So the 10 deadliest sins on subscription sites, I think, are assuming you know what your customers want, or, you know, assuming if they are existing customers, you know what they like within your existing publication. Assuming what works online will automatically work offline, will automatically work online. And assuming then what content and features your customers will pay for. And that's the big thing, is what they will pay for. Because they pay for very little content online. So you have to be absolutely sure. Then in the actual process itself, too much focus on a launch date. We tend to be very driven by the launch date itself. Obsession with a business plan. Executing on a sales and marketing plan before the business model is proven. And failure to test, learn, and adapt. And finally, prematurely trying to scale the business on the presumption of success. And flexible thinking and job titles. And then we're into the management by crisis leading to death spiral. And that is when as you have, if you've been to many of these conferences, the discussion of free versus paid, hybrid business models, swapping and changing, moving from one to the other. So, the solution. That's a death bar. Okay, so this is what I think works, and I'm just building another business at the moment using this process, and I'm just 4 weeks away from launch, and it's been a really, really good process. So, the idea remains the same, and I'll come on to what the Lean Canvas is in a minute. But that is your one-page business plan. And then you go into this process of problem customer fit. And that is, I wonder if that's worth handing. Yeah, Mark, do you mind just handing those sheets out? That is a process of talking to customers, but presenting them with the problem that you think they're trying to solve when they read your publication. And getting them to either agree with you or otherwise talk you through what they think their problem is. So in the case of Christianity Today, it became really clear the problem was that people who had to write sermons spent a lot of their time on Saturdays writing something they didn't enjoy. It took up a lot of the time, and the illustrations page saved them that time and effort. And so that's what their problem was time and effort. It saves time and effort in writing a sermon. And they had Christianity Today, they had no idea that that's why a great big percentage of their subscribers were buying their magazine. And once you've done the problem interviews, and you think from that process, you understand the problem, then you go into a series of solution interviews and saying, if I'm correct in thinking this is your problem, I propose this is the solution. If we built this as the solution, is that something that you would pay for? Does that actually solve your problem? And people are brutally honest. If you go to them with research and they're sitting around the focus group, people lie. They, you know, if there's one person who's dominant within the group, they follow. They don't deliberately lie, but they like to say what they think you want to hear. It's amazing when you go with a problem interview and a solution interview, two separate interviews, same people. The problem interview, you discuss this with them, and then the solution interview, you throw it back at them and say, if we produce this, would you pay for it? That creates a really interesting process where you refine your original idea, and then you complete this circuit. If you don't complete this circuit, you know, I truly believe there's a really good chance that your final website will fail. Because if you don't know what problem you're solving and you don't know the solution that the customers want, there's a really slim chance you're actually going to create that using a traditional process. Then we're into what I call product market fit. And that is, you create mock-ups and then you take them back to the same people and you say, here's mock-ups, this is what we're actually going to build, this is what we're going to create based on what you've told me. You know, if we created that, would you buy it? And if not, why not? Incidentally, for the business I'm doing, I've done about 50 of these interviews with the same people, and then, you know, every now and again I've brought someone else in just to validate what's been said. And then finally is what I call the minimum viable product. It's so tempting when you're building a website to think, right, I need a forum, I need Facebook, I need integration to Twitter, I need an email newsletter, I need a database, I need a content management system, and you spec out, you know, a fantastic product. What I'm arguing is, if you know what problem they have, and you know how to solve it, then don't build anything else. You know, just build what they tell you they're prepared to pay for, and do it as cheaply and as quickly as possible, and get it out there. And if they do pay for it, then you start adding stuff to it, and you start marketing it, and you start growing it. If they don't buy it, then you go back slightly into this process and start asking the questions again. You know, you told me you would buy it. If we did that, you haven't. You know, why not? What do I need to do to change it? And you enhance that minimum viable product, and you go back out into the market and you try it again. This is where you then build the business plan. You say, right, now I have a product that, you know, addresses a problem. I know people want to buy it. What would happen if I scaled it? How much money could I make? How much marketing money should I put into it? And you can then be very confident when you go for the full launch or when you start throwing marketing money at it, you're just scaling, you're optimizing something that's proven. And then that's when you launch. So that's the process. Understand the problem, define the solution, validate it qualitatively with your mock-ups, and then validate it, that should say quantitatively there instead. Okay, so, and this is the document I use. It's called the Lean Canvas. It was developed by a guy called Eric Ries, and that is my one-page business plan. If you flip over to the third page, and you'll see what it looks like when it's filled out. And this is an actual example that I did with a client. They were a consumer website. They had about 1 million page views a month. And they were trying to make money from advertising and really struggling. And so we sat down and tried to see what would... Let me just get it. If I can find that. They had this massive... lots of traffic, 1 million visitors. They had a huge amount of user-generated content, particularly about celebrities. What could they do to make money? And they went out to some... They came up with these problems. Celebrities influence fashion brands. The influence of individual celebrities fluctuates and changes. Retailers, buyers, brands, fashion designers need to closely follow what celebrities are popular, what celebrities are popular and what they're wearing. So the solution was to aggregate the data about what brands celebrities are wearing, package it up with supporting data, and sell it to the fashion industry via a subscription website. And they had their customers they were going to do it with. And their unfair advantage was that they already had the 1 million visitors who were submitting this data to them. And their unique value proposition was data and opinion and images about brand celebrities aggregated by 1 million fashion consumers presented as a concise monthly newsletter. Now, they went out with this to the brands and they asked them, you know, would you pay for it? And they iterated this about four times before they did a mock-up and then launched. And in fact, they haven't launched. They've done the minimum viable product, which is out there at the moment. And I think it's going to be tremendously successful. It's turned out, it's ended up as a dashboard where they can go in and they can do searches by celebrity, by brands, who's wearing what, when they were seen wearing it, any images. This is an example. And this whole process, and it took about 8 weeks of going around and iterating. And this is a completely new revenue stream it's a business-to-business website, a business-to-business revenue stream coming out of a consumer website, and was very quickly and easily tested. The tendency is, if you use the old method, is to just concentrate on the solution, when in fact, that is your product, and that is what you should be concentrating on and iterating. And by having it in one page, you can test every single bit of this, cross it off, and rewrite that lean canvas. And you can have multiple canvases going for the same product idea. So, in my opinion, from what I've seen and the number of websites I've been, this is what I think is the secret of a successful website, is spending the time, effort, to come up with a problem-solution fit, turn that into mock-ups to find the product market fit and a minimum viable product, and only then, you know, write your business plan, scale for optimization and proven product. And even if you have an established website and it's not working as you hoped, I think you can go through exactly the same process. Because, you know, I've done that several times. And you know, there are several books now written on this process. It's called the Lean Startup Process. And there's a very good book called Lean Running. And just come and ask me at the end and I can recommend, if you want to follow this up further, this process up further, then you know, I can recommend some very good reading. So I think that's it. I hope that was useful. And if we have any questions?